Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, initiates, to the Mythos Mysteries, a live-play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imaginings. I am H.P. Helmfirth, your host on this journey into darkness. The Mystery Punchers are whole once again, having recovered inside a jazz club. Richter discovered more about the history of the Entombed Eye. Adrian looked after Red and determined that not everyone in a hood was evil. And Red came back to life just in time to lead a heist at the New York Metropolitan Museum. So venture forth with us, dear friends, into the mythos.
2 times Marvin Gatsby has laid out, Red, what to you is a hell of a fucking problem. We just lost Ryan, but he's back. Yeah. Shall we start again?
Yeah.
I think so.
You were in a very disinterested pose at the very beginning of that. So you were like.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Let's do it. 2 times Marvin Gatsby has outlined for you, Red, a serious fucking problem. And it's a problem that you unfortunately spent most of most of your time being a gang leader worried about, which is what happens if one of these people turns on you. Now, you never had that experience, even though you had a couple of untrustworthy characters until the attack on Helmfirth. But at this point, with all the brain control worms, I think you can very safely assume that your gang didn't turn on you so much as they were compelled to do the bidding of a darker force. Marvin, on the other hand, has not had that experience until fairly recently. The story is this. Marvin and his crew, the Duotang Gang, had a proper... they've been running booze in and out of New York very quietly for their jazz clubs. It is the 1930s, so jazz is still relatively new. And Marvin basically realized that he was going to get probably killed by the mob if he continued to kind of just run booze for other people. So he did what I know a lot of the bartenders in Toronto do, which is just decide to sell his own supply at his own place. So instead, he invested in clubs. And now Mr. Gatsby owns a number of clubs throughout New York and a couple other places nearby that he supplies himself with his connections. It's the safest way for him to illegally sell booze right now, and he's making full use of it. That said, these clubs are only, as we're all discovering in COVID, these clubs are only profitable if they're able to stock the merchandise that they sell. Without the illicit booze he's selling, these places will fall away fast because they're still niche enough that his entire operation rests very delicately on his ability to keep his pipeline open. And unfortunately, being comfortable both with his crew and with his situation, Marvin bet pretty big on a shipment. And unfortunately, that is when Graham Dukes seized his opportunity to completely fuck over the Duotang Gang and to go legit, or at least so he says. Graham Dukes was not Marvin's number two, but his number three. And he went... he's said to have gone to the cops with information of an illicit shipment arriving. Now, the good thing is, because he wasn't his number two, he doesn't have all of the information. But he has enough to make things very, very difficult. Marvin also has heard a number of rumors that there is a leak in the NYPD supplying info to the mob. So the odds that there might actually be now competition for this in addition to increased police presence is high. And the kicker... he says, raising his third martini of the night, is that I had the most brilliant delivery plan set up. Red, I don't know how well you know our neighbors to the north, but there is a fine little city called Toronto. It's up and coming.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, they've got a hell of a museum. I managed to make a deal with the distillery up there to smuggle us some very, very exquisite whiskeys and ryes across the border in a traveling exhibit. Now, this all made sense when absolutely no one was tipped off to it, but unfortunately, now that Graham has seen fit to sell us out for his own purposes, it would seem that my biggest shipment that I've tied most of my remaining income in is up for grabs. My crew has been fingered. Everyone I've got is now known both to the NYPD and, of course, to Dukes himself. So we can't get anywhere near the Met without everybody going nuts. But you three, you might have a shot. There's a... I don't know if you keep up with news, but about 10 years ago, there was a big find in Egypt. It was an old king, Tutankhamun, if you can imagine that. It's caused quite a stir. Well, he's coming to pay a visit to the fine city of New York, and I thought, well, it's polite to not show up with gifts. So I had my friends north of the border there pack the exhibit full of my booze. Our plan was to go pick it up. No fuss, no muss. But unfortunately, Dukes was able to finger our contact inside the Met, and now all my precious booze is being reburied with an Egyptian pharaoh in the museum. If we can't get in there and get it, they will find it when they unpack the exhibit tomorrow. As I understand it, the preparations have already begun, but our stuff was hidden fairly well. So you can save my entire empire the way my weird Dr. Christopher saved your life, if you can just get inside, get that booze, and get the fuck out of there.
Where exactly is this booze? Did you just put it in with the mummy, or...
Well, Red, I didn't pack the box myself, as you can imagine, but, yes, there is, the nice thing about this, this particular dig was they uncovered all sorts of wacky stuff. I had my agents, sneak it in with, those, little Egyptian jars that they put all the, the body parts in.
The organs. Well as,
yes,
canopic,
yeah,
canopic jars.
I see you are up on the news, Red. I should not have doubted your ability to understand this. Yes, canopic, was that the word? Yes, canopic jars.
Yeah,
all right.
I came across one once. There was a human finger in it.
Well, that
don't ask questions.
I never do. Yes, the some of King Tut's, his toiletries and that sort of thing. We just snuck our booze in with those. So, no, it's not like you got to crack open a sarcophagus and pull out a big bunch of bottle of booze. That would be pretty great, but I figured someone might look there first. Plus, I don't want the king himself imbibing our spirits.
Plus, there's always the talk about curses.
Curses. Well, yes. I mean, I certainly wouldn't want to run afoul of any mystical hoodoo, but, the only curse I've got is trusting too much in the wrong people, which unfortunately is one I could entirely control. But your crew seems pretty good. We've got the Iron Chef over here with his pyromantic abilities and your questionably musical old man friend. It's an irregular crew you run with these days, Red. Are you sure they're up to the task?
Yeah, when you look over the bar, you just see Adrian collecting drinks for the two of them. What is he getting for you, Richter?
Martini. He's in New York, and damn it, he's having a martini.
Yeah, so Adrian's got a martini he's bringing over to Richter, and in Adrian's other hand is a pint glass full of maraschino cherries. That's what he's having.
Richter's such a Miranda.
To your question, Kathy, I would bet my life on them, even though we're not perhaps at full physical capacity. I certainly hope that this is not a job that's going to require me to be jumping around and, shall we say, punching people in the face. Because, to be perfectly honest with you, as much as I hate to admit vulnerability, that is not exactly in my capabilities right now, as you can imagine.
No need to imagine. I read Dr. Christopher's report. As far as I know, no, but that will be up to you. This is your job, Red. I would... Far be it for me to tell you how to run a heist. But, my team will be standing by nearby. You'll just need to figure out, A, where the liquor's ended up, B, how to get it out onto the loading dock, and how to signal my team from there. Smash and grab is something they can do quite handily. It's just getting inside the actual museum itself is going to be completely impossible for them.
And this is the job you need done tonight?
Unfortunately, yes. Time is of the essence. Glad you woke up. The other chores would take months, so this really worked out well.
For everyone, didn't it? Well, we're going to have to go in after the museum is closed, or we're going to have to go in right before it closes and manage to stash ourselves inside.
So he hands you basically a dossier of what is unfortunately now out-of-date information. The exhibit is set to be prepared for inspection tomorrow. So basically, like, you've got overnight tonight. Tomorrow is when it'll be kind of inspected by museum staff and everything else, and it's set to open the day after. So really, your only shot is tonight, largely because tomorrow they will unpack. They've unpacked a bit, but they'll unpack everything. So you've got those. The dangers that he's identified for you are... Graham Dukes went to the cops, so the NYPD has been alerted to the fact that there is meant to be a heist. Now, that said, having arrested the contact within the museum itself, the odds are greater that there will be a small police presence in the building or heightened museum security, but likely small police presence. Marvin has definitely seen that patrols have increased quite considerably outside. So... it might not actually be a concern for you guys if you're able to do this quietly, but there is increased police presence around the museum and likely a little bit inside. Security has definitely been doubled within the museum itself. That said, the arrest of the contact really did seem to, like, the fact that the police are looking for the gang and that the guy in the inside man has been caught means everyone is feeling a little bit more secure about it. It would seem that Dukes was unaware of what particular exhibit the booze was headed to. Otherwise, they would have just confiscated that. So he's far enough down the chain that there's still some uncertainty that you guys can take full advantage of.
Okay.
He knew enough to finger the gang and the target, but not what specifically was being picked up or where.
This man of yours, this Graham Dukes, he's still in police custody?
As far as I know, yes. We saw him go in. We haven't seen him come out.
I hope you have sufficient plans for him when next you meet. It's always good to make an example when things like this happen.
I mean, you saw the squalor in which you awoke this morning. Those rooms have a lot of different uses, I assure you.
Good.
But my days of trusting my crew like they're, you know, I used to always say it's all about family, and then we'd all raise our drinks at a barbecue, perhaps, you know, where we could all just talk about the various things we did. We had our two funny guys who had a relationship like brothers. We had our one big strong guy who wasn't really on our team, but would be here occasionally from a rival gang. But, you know, we all got along. Various paramours.
That man with the strange English accent.
Yes, yes, yes. The strange English man, as well as the large weightlifter man who could always smell what was cooking. Regardless, the time for that has ended. Now is the time for vengeance. And for renewed friendships. And he raises his glass.
My favorite times. Vengeance and friends.
So he leaves you to plan. You get the sense there is a great deal of professional respect where he's kind of like, I'll give you everything I have, but I'm not in any world going to attempt to dictate anything to you about this. Also, he's running several jazz clubs, so he's a busy man. So he's off to do that, but the three of you have some time to plan.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to rob a museum. How does that sound?
Okay.
That actually sounds like it could be a bit of fun, honestly.
I was going to say, Richter, I feel like out of the three of us, you would be jumping for excitement.
Well, I believe my jumping days are behind me, Miss Red, but I am quite interested in what is it that we are procuring from this museum, perhaps?
Whiskey.
Hold on a moment. You said we were robbing a museum, so surely something more mystical or ancient or interesting than whiskey.
Well, it's whiskey in ancient things.
Oh, my God. Did they desecrate some kind of ancient tomb?
Egyptian, in fact.
Great. This is fantastic.
What do your occult studies tell you about that? Anything bad?
Shall I roll for that, Tom, to see what...
Yeah, I think so. Let's go with... I would give you history because you just know the history. I would certainly give you a cult. I don't think this is mythos because we're talking about like world religion and Egyptian mythology, which isn't really a mythosy thing.
I'm going to go a cult just because I, as a player, I'm worried about curses.
I am going to roll my meta dice.
That's a hard success.
Damn, man. All right. Well, you are fully aware of the idea of Egyptian curses related to tombs. Particularly, you are, of course, familiar with the tragedies that have befallen several of the members of the expedition that found King Tutankhamun's tomb back in 22. I feel like for you, reading about each of those tragedies as they unfolded was a little bit like Christmas. because for all of the time you spend looking, desperately looking for any kind of fucking evidence of the occult, the fact that Howard Carter's expedition, that various members have been, like terrible things have befallen several of them by this point and several more in the years to come, mm-hmm. That's a fucking joy for you. So it's a cautionary tale, and I think you filed it away, that if you ever have to deal with, if you were ever to crack an Egyptian tomb, don't fall for the same things that happened to the you know, just be aware and be warned, because like the last thing you'd want is like a repeat Tutankhamun experience.
Yeah.
Well, Red, it is somewhat known that you mentioned King Tut, was it? King Tutankhamun?
Yes, that is the exhibit that we will be robbing.
Yeah, yeah. I have been reading about this King Tutankhamun.
Of course you have.
The curse of his tomb, which has actually already claimed some lives. So they poured whiskey in his tomb.
Well, it's not. They didn't pour it. It's in bottles, if that makes a difference. I highly don't think that that's something that an ancient Egyptian pharaoh would go after, personally.
Excuse me, can I get some more cherries? I need some more cherries over here.
Yeah, come on. More cherries for my friend here. We might die tomorrow, so...
We're not going to
die. His cherries.
Why will I die?
Marvin from the door turns around. He's like, you heard the guys. More martinis and more cherries. And then he just, like, nods to all of you and leaves.
Tom,
am I going to die?
No, of course you're not going to die, Addy.
Oh, okay.
No, don't worry about that. We're just talking about things that don't really exist, and she kind of gives Richter a hard look.
You mean like the giant snake that Richter gave hearts to that was from Egypt?
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumbdumbdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that. Now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
Was that from Egypt?
There were hieroglyphics in the tomb or temple that Addy and I found ourselves in. However, the hieroglyphics did not, if I remember correctly, they did not match any ancient language that I am aware of.
All right.
That's correct. They were Egyptian in style, but not in substance, if that makes any sense.
Tom, what kind of day is it? What time?
I'm going to say it is, just for the sake of stakes, sort of mid-afternoon. So we're going to say like 3 p.m. The museum, we'll say, closes at 6 today, because it's the 1930s, and like, I don't know, people had boundaries back then. So the museum will close at 6. So you have 3 hours, basically, to kind of do what you want. New York is a vast and large city that's difficult to get around, but I hate describing travel in a narrative podcast. So you can essentially get anywhere you need to get to relatively quickly, but keep it to like a couple things. Like we'll play the game of is it reasonable? Or it's like, is it reasonable that we could do X, Y, Z? It's like, yeah, probably. Or like, I'll give you 2 of the 3, that sort of thing.
I want to go to the M&M store at Times Square. Red, do we have a plan for getting this now cursed whiskey out of the tomb? I can do my best to protect us from any lingering curses or anything like that, but the breaking in and out of the museum will be up to you and Addy.
Yes, Addy can protect us from the punches and the guns, and you'll protect us from the Pharaoh's curse. I'm sure we're perfectly well protected then.
Who's gonna punch us and gun us?
Well, here's the thing. Their crew was made. We're gonna be dealing with police. We're gonna potentially be dealing with the Mafia, which isn't ideal.
What was the name of that big fat guy who made us move?
Who?
We had to leave town and go to Helmfrith because some big fat guy was taken.
Oh, well, that's Boston, honey. That's Al Capone.
Yeah. What's his name, though?
Al Capone.
Yeah. Al Capi. What? Can't we just do what he did on that love day? Did you remember that the newspapers had it everywhere, and I made you read it to me out loud, and it just said, Valentine's Day Massacre. Remember, because they had his people dress up like the police, so they went somewhere, and then they said, you're under arrest, and everybody gave up, and then they made them all go to sleep and took their stuff. Can we just dress up like police and be like, that's my money?
I've realized I would subscribe to a podcast that is just Addy Diesel tells history, and it's just you describing major historical events in exactly that tone. It's very fun.
Seconded. That's a good idea, Addy. The problem is that we'd need to find 3 outfits in 3 hours. So
I would also like to point out that I'm not sure the police authority extends to taking museum exhibits and items out of the Met.
Yeah, okay.
What if we just give up then?
Addy.
What if we don't? Why are we doing this?
We're doing this because I am alive, because these people have done me a favor.
So this is for the doctor.
Yes. Addy, in the week that you were making soup and tending to Red at her bedside, I have
noticed
that...
Yeah, when I saved her.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I have noticed that these are dangerous criminals as well. And with everything going on with the Gotham... I can't remember what they're
Gotham
called.
Crown.
Thank you. With the Gotham Crown... the inheritors, the king in yellow, and everything going on in Helmfrith. It's really just one less problem to have, and hopefully one more friend to have in a situation that is rapidly, rapidly spinning out of our control.
Can I get those cherries, please? Just want the cherries.
The bartender comes over with a pint glass full of martini and a martini glass full of cherries. And goes, oh, shit, I fucked this up, didn't I?
This is fancy.
And I'll tip him $5.
Wow. That's very kind of you, sir. I'll take care of you all night. Bye.
Addy, we're going to do this job because I owe this man my life. And like Richter said, we really can't stand to lose any friends right now. And frankly, this is the most normal job we've had in a while, so I think I could use the break.
Okay.
Richter, can you roll me an int check, please?
I'm just worried about Wackadoo Willie and my donkeys.
God, my intelligence is insane. that's a regular success.
As you mentioned the King in Yellow, it occurs to you that that play is starting like...
Oh, yeah, I'm aware. Yeah.
Now. Cool. Okay. Red.
It's all bad.
you've gotten very good over the years at paying attention to anytime Addie mentions a new thing, because usually it means there's a new pet in the sewer, a new car, or like possibly a friend he's made. So Wackadoo Willie is new.
Yep, I picked that up.
Do you think your style is to confront him about such things, or do you just privately log it?
Oh, I'm going to log it. This is not the time for that. I'm logging that away, and we'll have that discussion at a later date.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So basically, all we need to do is we need to go into the museum in the dead of, ideally, night, find the Egyptian exhibit, find out where all of his booze is, and somehow manage to get it past the mob and the police onto the loading dock. Sounds fairly straightforward, don't you think? And she just raises her whiskey glass and just chugs it.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready.
Oh, I need my guns.
Okay.
They're right here. And he'll just take out your guns and hold them.
So what is, you have, again, a couple hours left for preparation. What are the things you want to do before you attempt the break-in? Or do you just want to jump to the break-in?
I wonder if I would like better guns, considering, like, I want to keep, obviously I'll keep my guns. But they're not in the best of shape, and I'm wondering if Marvin can give me two guns that aren't going to, like, spectacularly misfire on me if I roll poorly, or if that's too much.
Are you expecting to do any shooting at the museum?
Who knows?
Oh, okay, then yeah, you better bring guns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to bring guns. I just wondered if
he can't spare any that he's got, but what he can do is put you in touch with a local ice cream man.
Oh, okay.
So we'll say that, Red, that's your pre-heist action is attempting to obtain more reliable, at least, firearms. Richter, what do you think you would do before we go in?
I would like to ward the three of us. Protect us from Egyptian curses.
Okay. It's funny, I was going to say, like, roll a charm check, because we just played D&D, and that's exactly what that would be. I think this is going to be an occult check, please.
I'm happy to roll an occult
check. Yeah, I thought you might.
Know your limit, play within it. That is a... Where'd you go, occult? One shy of a hard success. You know what? Let's spend one luck to do a hard success.
Okay. Tyler, what does warding the team against... Have you done wards before? I'm curious, because, I mean, I know it makes sense that Richter would certainly know about them, but we're kind of... I really like where we've gotten to with him. We're like, it went from being hypothetical to practical. So what does the practical version of this look like?
I think he and... his sister. Oh my goodness, I can't
remember
his sister's name. Thank you. Wow, that's not good.
I flipped a coin last episode whether it was Ingrid or Helga. Couldn't determine, so just didn't say either. Or Bridget?
No, it's Ingrid.
Right. Great.
It's Ingrid.
Nailed Ingrid. One.
Yeah.
First try.
I think he and Ingrid might have actually practiced a little bit of this and that when they were younger. Harmless sort of charms and things like that. Nothing too dangerous or powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the extent of his practical practice of it. But he's definitely read up, especially if he was reading about the King Tut curse in the newspaper and probably doing sort of like a mental exercise of like, well, okay, so this is what befell these people. What would I do to counteract that, based on what I know about Egyptian curses and things like that?
Okay. I like that a lot. I think that makes a lot of sense to me. So the nature, because it will not shock any of you to know, I got really into this case when I was younger. The nature of the curse as kind of generally believed to be the thing was the actual disruption of the tomb itself.
Yep.
It was the expedition that was thought to be cursed, not necessarily anyone who's coming into contact with Tut over the years, which is weird because it sets it aside from like a Scottish play fear where it's like, oh, anyone who does this play is fucked. Hmm. Whereas with King Tut, it was like, you shouldn't have fucking breached the door, dude. So I think for Richter, that would actually be kind of peace of mind to some extent because it's still worth being concerned about. And also, mm-hmm. again, and you played this exactly right, the fact that the Duotang gang's contact at the Royal Ontario Museum put a bunch of booze in these shipping containers, like, you hope it's just, like, nestled in there with the canopic jars, but it could also just be the canopic jars.
If any of it was, like, materially or, like, physically disturbed, I feel like that direct contact would put us at risk for...
Absolutely. So what's interesting is I think we'll say the nature of this is almost more of a secondhand curse.
Okay.
Where it's like you don't need to worry about the capital C curse. It's like, what's the lowercase C curse? Right. So you go about sort of running through what you and Ingrid did, except what's weird is now it actually has a sense of reality, whereas before it was very hypothetical. I will say in your time with Ingrid, she was on the verge of a bunch of discoveries, but I don't think either of you ever encountered any of this. I think it wouldn't be true to Richter's character as we've described him if, like, it was one of those stupid prequels where it's like, oh no, but he also fought a haunted doll with his sister in a house once, but he's a skeptic and he doesn't know. Like,
it's definitely like we would... like a small carving, like a wood carving of a charm from a specific tree that we would then like recite an enchantment in front of, and then Ingrid would put it under her pillow night before like a big test. Like that's the extent.
Love
of
it. No, that's this perfect kind of stuff. No, right? Yeah, absolutely. That's perfect. That's exactly where I was kind of at with it too, and that's great. Cool. So you go about doing that, which means you are lightly charm, I don't want to say proof, but charm resistant. So you cast your warding spells. Adrian, what do you think you would get up to before the heist?
Okay. Because he's got some latent smart brain, but he's still dumb. I'm actually going to roll an intelligence test to see what he does.
Okay.
What does he do? He just follows Red. He has nothing to contribute, so he'll just follow.
Ryan, I think you rolled that on int?
Yeah.
Can you roll it again on luck? Because I feel like, based on how you built the character before I threw wild backstory twists at you, you probably didn't give yourself much int. And I think mechanically it makes more sense to me if this is a is this a moment of clarity check rather than a rack your brain check.
So against the current luck score or his original luck score?
Your current luck score.
Oof.
It's a drastic failure. I rolled a higher number. So nope, he just follows Red.
Fair enough. Great. So we can step like gently out of character for this, but for my own brain, currently it seems that we have two plans that have been presented. One is a Valentine's Day massacre inspired, obtain cop uniforms, infiltrate as police, sort it that way. And then Red, you seem to have put forward a full on just infiltrate as sneaky, sneaky stealth people, try not to be seen, get in, get out scenario. Which of the two are you going to pursue? Or is there a third option that I'm...
The police thing was pretty quickly shot down in the conversation, so I think...
I know, I just want to float all three, both as potential angles.
I mean, I do think the police thing would be useful for getting in, at least. It's we're going to have to probably ditch the costumes the second that we start rummaging through the exhibit. But it would take the stress out of getting in.
Because if you do want to take that approach, you will need to tell me how you want to get police.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking it might just be like, let's just sneak in the back and if we come across people who try to get in our way, we put them to sleep.
Okay. So just a proper infiltration then?
Yeah.
In terms of equipment, Tom, just for a quick question on Adrian's scale, because I can't remember what I have or don't have. Narwhal is gone or Narwhal still exists? Do I still have it? I can't remember. I had it in the cell and I shot it, but then we ran out of the cell because Red was injured.
If you had it in the cell, we'll say you still have it.
I think it was just the mirror of Samael that...
The mirror of Samael is gone, but you, I believe, still have the Narwhal.
Great. And I still have my spooky knife.
And you still have the spooky knife, yes.
Great. Okay. Then yes, he doesn't need a gun. He's good.
That said, with this being the plan, following Red, I would argue... does also mean you can take preparation steps or go about different things that you think Adrian would do in preparation for this, but your role means that whatever it is will serve the plan that Red has given you, not what you perhaps think is the correct course of action. If that makes sense.
He'd go with Red and then he would try to find either Sprinkles or a birthday cake so that he could have a snack or pet Sprinkles. I think that's it. Like if he doesn't get given instructions and the plan is follow Red, like that's his jam.
So Adrian, after a tremendously tough week of making so much soup and worrying about whether or not Red would wake up, cause there was a lot of jam and the toast seemed to be pretty burnt.
It's the driest toast he's seen in a while.
It's been, I think in a way that Adrian doesn't really actually tell people, a pretty trying time for him. The idea of Red being hurt in a way that he can't help, I'm sure would be very unsettling and very uncomfortable. So on the day of the heist, as Red goes in search of a clandestine ice cream man, as Richter prepares the wards that he will cast on the three of you. Adrian, you go and sit in Central Park and Sprinkles come, Sprinkles go. And despite all of them looking just a little bit different, you just spend some time with your old pal Sprinkles. And what is the advice that springs into your head from petting Sprinkles? As though Sprinkles is giving you advice.
Oh, yeah. I need to remember that I am bad at sneaking and shouldn't try to sneak. If I sneak, this all goes in the pooper.
Meow, says the adorable, patchy, stray tabby, who nods at you and then slinks off into the dark.
Thanks, Sprinkles. You go murder all those... stupid dogs!
And then he like shakes his fist at some pigeons he sees in the distance.
And as the sun goes down over New York City, a lone massive man in a tuxedo and a fistful of birthday cake shakes his fist. It was, as anyone who has been to New York will tell you, a regular night in the city.
This episode of the Mythos Mysteries features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Claire Blackwood at Claire Blackwood on Twitter, and Keeper Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Mythos Mysteries show logo was created by Decapitated Marker at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are Dark Alleys and Sentinel by Kai Engel, and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. And all of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. We have merchandise available at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And most importantly, you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B, D-U-M-B, D-I-C-E. All hail the mythos.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Sine. That's a geometric waveform or arc that rises and falls. And a new Canadian TTRPG and podcast inspired by that almost soothing mathematical motion. Let me show you. The action begins to rise as powerful strangers in a ruined yet vibrant world band together.
If you run north, they will chase you. I suggest you stand behind me.
Partner, I'd rather stand beside you if you're willing to help.
Tension continues to mount higher as our characters must push themselves beyond their usual limits.
As I'm climbing into the driver's seat, I'm going to say to Sarah, sometimes you got to make tough decisions. I'm driving now.
And it peaks as a danger and excitement hits its zenith, leading to great failure or success.
Fenrir would be just fire at this point.
She straight up might die. Like, this encounter might murder you.
You know what? You lit me on fire. We're going to be on fire, baby.
And this tension relaxes. A tragedy, but more often humor, that comes with great pals being around a virtual table playing a game. Discover Sine on your favorite podcast player. S-I-N-E. Choices of the characters are theirs to make, but the fate of the world is up to the dice.